Today in polytheism, we're going to take a look at one of the reasons for the season. A god who sacrificed himself to help humanity by being hung from a tree. Or, instead, we could talk about a big man with a great white beard who brought joy and frivolity to folks in December. You know what? Let's do both.
Yes.
In this polytheism, we're going to take a look at someone way cooler than those panty-waist, lame-os, Jesus and Santa, and instead celebrate the god who carries us not along some stupid metaphoric beach, but through the middle of each and every week. The one-eyed ass-kicker-in-chief, Odin.
Yes.
Okay, you say, I mean, any time is a good time to talk about Odin, but why now? Why here at the dawn of the winter solstice season should we talk about the king of the Norse pantheon? Well, I retort, you've heard of Yuletide, Yule Logs, Yule Brenner, etc., etc., etc. But have you heard of Yulnir? Yulnir, or Yulnir, spelled with a J, is just one of the many names used for the god we most commonly refer to as Odin. Amongst his other names are, of course, Wotan, which gives us Wotan's Day. Unlike Yuletide, Wotan's Day is not celebrated annually, but is a weekly event sandwiched in between Tyr's Day and Thor's Day. Yeah, ladies and gents, take a look at your calendar and you'll find that 4 of the 7 days of the week are named after Norse gods, with Odin right smack in the center of it all.
They got more holidays than Jewish people.
Absolutely. And when you consider the sun and the moon, get two of the other days, Saturn is this weird standout out there.
Oh, I could have a one-day work week. That would be
fine by me. Odin, Wotan, and Yulnir are far from the only names for Odin. The Poetic Edda, which lays the groundwork for much of what we know of Norse myth, tells us that Odin has 12 names, and then goes on to actually give us way more than that. He has 12, and now here's several dozen. One of these is Ygg, meaning terrible one, in the more traditional fear and awe-inspiring sense of terrible. And while that name isn't used a whole lot, its significance is huge. You see, Odin, or Ygg, in order to gain even greater power and knowledge than he already possessed, was hanged from the world tree. Sidebar, relatively speaking, the crucifixion that Jesus is said to have endured was actually very quick for a crucifixion, right? These things often take days and days of suffering. He had a few hours, right?
Like in Conan the Barbarian.
Exactly, or Spartacus. Odin hung on his tree for 9 days. Take that, Jesus. And because of this tale of his sacrifice, the world tree becomes known as Yggdrasil, meaning the mount or steed of Ygg. The whole universe, held up by the tree and all 9-ish realms of Norse myth, is literally named after our man Odin. So by extrapolation, if Odin hung from the world tree, which was in turn named after him, and one of the other names connected to the Yule, then isn't Yggdrasil really kind of the first Yule tree? And doesn't that make Odin hanging from said tree into the first Christmas tree ornament?
Bum.
Sketchy linguistics and the fact that Yggdrasil is clearly an ash tree and not the traditional pine tree of Christmas aside, I think I've made a real strong case for the manufacturing and sale of hanged Odin Christmas tree ornaments. Make me one. I will buy it. I will buy them all. I swear to you. Vertir, or God of Men, is another name for Odin, this one speaking to the fact that along with his two brothers, Odin is said to have created the first humans, his major contribution to the process being that he imbued humans with their soul, which, as the Velfather, or Father of the Slain, he remained in possession of until the Battle of Ragnarok. Now, not all souls, of course, just the worthy slain. He doesn't want people to die of syphilis or
just the elect.
Ebola. Just the cool ones. Now, other names of his attest to Odin being the All-Father, the ruler of the gallows, a wanderer, friend of the Goths, Swinger of Gungnir.
Friend of the Goths and Swingers.
Yes. Gungnir being his trusty spear, of course. Longbeard, Red Mustache, High One, the last three of which are titles I aspire to myself, and so on and so forth. Many of his names refer to the loss of one of his eyes, such as Hor, one eye, which did not happen in one of his frequent battles, but in fact was the cost of one of his even more frequent quests for knowledge. In exchange for a drink from the Well of Mimir, or the Well of Knowledge, Odin gave up an eye, which is no small price to pay for a warrior, depth perception being pretty important when you're hurling spears around. Throughout the poetic and prose Eddas, we are treated to stories of Odin, often in disguise, setting out into the world to gain or prove his knowledge. He resurrects a dead, wise Jotun woman, Volva, she's called. Yeah, I know. And has trivia matches against any smarty pants types he can find. In the end, Odin always wins out, revealing his true self at the last moment and turning the tables on whomever he's up against. Even when he's chilling out on his throne in Yggdrasil, I have no idea. It's just a lot of consonants. In the hall of Valaskjalf, or presiding over the Einherjar in Valhalla, he has his two ravens, named Hugin and Munin, meaning thought and memory, flitting about in the world gathering intel for him. He's not an all-seeing, all-knowing god in the, you know, Judeo-Christian kind of way, but he has spies that go out into the world and then report back to him so he knows everything that's going on. Now, Odin is pretty fantastic, but if you're thinking of taking up Odin worship, just a word of warning, there's a lot of blood involved. Animal sacrifice, bloodletting, and even, yes, the occasional full-on human sacrifice. The old Germanic Yule celebration was a veritable orgy of blood, where not only were cattle and horses slain, but their blood would then be smeared on visages of Odin himself. If you watch the show Vikings, any of you guys seen Vikings?
Mm-hmm.
It's real good on the History Channel. I think you can watch it on Netflix or something now.
I'm blown away. Good show on the History Channel?
It's a drama. Huh. It's their first drama.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was a – that's right, because I thought it was just a talking head thing, but it was like characters.
It's a straight-up drama, and it's great. And in I think it's in season two, they show one of the human sacrifice rituals that are done to Odin in a fairly accurate representation of the temple. And it's you know, it's way more dramatic than eating a wafer and taking a sip of wine, or if you grew up CRC like me, a cube of bread and grape juice.
Do they show vulva?
They reference vulva. They do. And actually, I believe there are European edits of the show.
Oh, that do have that where she shows
they
up.
They do show. So it's, in fact, the bloody nature of Odin rituals that led to a decline in his worship and a shift over to figures like his son, Thor, who did not require anything quite so messy. It's in large part thanks to Snorri Sturluson, the author or editor or whatever you want to call him, of the Prose Edda.
That's the coolest name ever.
Snorri Sturluson? Is that not great?
Oh, Snorri.
Well, he was the son of Sturluson.
Sounds almost like a Dickensian name.
Very much
oh,
so.
Great. Snorri's going to tell us another tale.
I'm reading a whole book about Snorri Sturluson. He was this great big fat guy who hung out in his Icelandic hot tub all the time and wrote Norse
adventures. That was Falstaff.
Very much so. He's a Falstaffian character. But it's thanks to Snorri that the then Christianized Norse had a renewed interest in Odin. He, as a lover of knowledge himself, focuses much more of his attention on the chief of the gods and portrays the much more popular at the time Thor as kind of an oaf. Thor is used largely in comedic scenes and so on. Not that he's not powerful, but Snorri was the big Odin guy. That being said, one of the greatest interactions between Odin and Thor shows up in the older Edda, or the poetic Edda, in a poem called The Poem of Harbarth, where Odin, who's in disguise as a ferryman, taunts his own son in an epic and unbalanced trash-talking battle of wits. It's hilarious if you're into that sort of thing.
Now, also really good is Dirk Gently's the, well, which one was that with Thor? It was the second one in the series?
Yeah, I can't remember.
It's hilarious.
Douglas Adams, yeah. his other great series.
His scene where Thor's eagle is going after Dirk is like physical comedy in written form that is
– only the Brits like, can do that. Yeah. They're so good at
I have
it.
Never laughed so hard at reading something that I actually lost my breath until I read that.
Now, of course, we can't talk about Odin without at least mentioning his final moment, which will come – as many will, in the Battle of Ragnarok. Odin, we're told, will be eaten by the wolf Fenrir, whose mouth is so big that his top jaw scrapes the sky while his bottom scrapes the earth. And he's one of the monstrous offspring of good old trickster god Loki. Though he is the first of the gods, Odin's death will be final, and the new peaceful, idyllic world that will rise from the ashes of Ragnarok will have no room for the war merry one. So there you have it. Odin, the shifty-eyed, spear-shaker, host-blinder, engager of battle, screamer, yeller, nourisher, mover of constellations, victory author, sleep-bringer, ruler of treachery, burgeoning, lord of the Aesir, sole creator of magical songs, ancient one, riddler, fetter-loosener, and that's less than half of the names given to him, by the way.
Read them all, and I'll speed it up.
Oh, okay.
At some point.
All I want to know is who plays him in the movie. Is it Anthony Hopkins?
It's Anthony Hopkins.
Okay, that's all
yeah.
I want to know. I'll just get my information from there.
And, of course, he is just one more god worth not worshiping this Yuletide.